The Mindfuck series by S.T. Abbey has taken the psychological thriller world by storm, captivating readers with its unflinching exploration of trauma, revenge, and unexpected love. This 5-book series has developed a cult following among thriller enthusiasts, with readers praising its complex moral landscape and emotionally raw storytelling. The author, who writes under the pseudonym Stabby for her darker works, has created what book talk influencers call the perfect anti-hero romance, a story that makes you question everything you thought you knew about justice and redemption. Even celebrities like Mila Kunis have mentioned being completely consumed by this series, unable to put it down until the devastating finale. Lana Myers appears to be an ordinary woman with an online trading business who moves frequently. But beneath her carefully constructed facade lies a deadly secret. She is systematically hunting and killing men who brutally wronged her in the past. The story opens with Lana's encounter with FBI profiler Logan Bennett, who immediately sees through her defensive nature and solitary lifestyle with unsettling accuracy. Despite feeling exposed by his analysis, Lana finds herself intrigued by him. What Logan doesn't know is that while they're beginning their flirtatious relationship, Lana is actively planning her next kill. She meticulously installs surveillance equipment in her target's home, creates elaborate murder plans, and even discusses her next victim via text with Logan, who has no idea the woman he's falling for is the very killer his team is hunting. The stark contrast between Lana's two lives creates a fascinating psychological tension. In one moment, she's nervously anticipating a date with Logan, wondering why planning a brutal murder feels easier than dating. In the next, she's torturing a man named Ben, who recognizes her as someone from his past he thought was dead. "I'll take 3 pounds of flesh over 3 days," she tells him coldly, "as revenge for what you did to me 10 years ago. This duality extends to every aspect of her life. While Logan investigates the boogeyman serial killer case, Lana maintains her cover by sharing stories about her online trading business, including a humorous anecdote about inspecting a woman's sex toys that her husband tried to exchange for a pressure washer. These moments of normalcy make her transformation into a merciless killer all the more jarring. Logan Bennett stands out even among the FBI's elite behavioral analysts, known for his uncanny ability to not just analyze killers, but to fully inhabit their psychological landscape. His colleagues often remark that he doesn't get into killers' heads, but crawls inside their minds, a talent that's earned him both admiration and concern from his superiors. His dedication to profiling has left a wake of failed relationships and lonely nights, with case files his most constant companions. The walls of his apartment are covered in crime scene photos and behavioral pattern analyses, a museum of madness that few civilians could stomach. When Logan encounters Lana at a coffee shop near the FBI field office, their connection is electric and immediate. Her background in forensic psychology gives them common ground, but it's her intuitive grasp of human nature that truly captivates him. Their relationship accelerates with an intensity that surprises them both. Passionate nights, punctuated by deep conversations about human nature and justice. Lana's dark humor and understanding of violence's psychological impact make her seem like the perfect match for a profiler who lives in the shadows of humanity's worst impulses. The dramatic irony of their relationship unfolds like a psychological thriller. While Logan meticulously builds profiles of the notorious boogeyman killer, he's unknowingly sharing his life with the very person he's hunting. During their late-night discussions over case files, Lana offers insights that are devastatingly accurate, drawing from her own experiences while maintaining her cover. Her suggestion about the killer being a custodial worker, based on the methodical cleaning patterns at crime scenes and knowledge of building access, leads to a major breakthrough in the investigation, earning her Logan's deeper trust and admiration. Their relationship evolves beyond physical attraction into something more profound and complicated. Logan's colleagues notice the change in him. The normally serious profiler now checks his phone during meetings, smiling at Lana's messages. Senior agent Marcus Thompson even pulls him aside to express concern about his growing emotional attachment during such a crucial investigation. Meanwhile, Lana finds herself experiencing unexpected emotional turmoil. Her carefully planned revenge agenda begins to unravel as genuine feelings for Logan emerge, creating internal conflict between her mission and her heart. The situation reaches critical mass when the boogeyman targets Lana, leading to a violent confrontation in her apartment. FBI agent Hadley Grace, conducting unauthorized surveillance, witnesses Lana's efficient and practiced dispatch of the attacker, a display of skill that reveals her true nature. Instead of reporting what she's seen, Hadley makes the morally ambiguous choice to help cover up the incident, creating an unlikely alliance. This decision introduces a new layer of complexity to the story, as Hadley's loyalty becomes divided between her duty as an FBI agent and her growing understanding of Lana's vigilante justice. As the series progresses, we learn the devastating truth behind Lana's mission. She is actually Victoria Evans, believed dead 10 years ago after suffering unimaginable trauma. Her father, Robert Evans, was falsely accused of being a serial killer and died in prison. Shortly after, Victoria and her brother Marcus were ambushed by Kyle Davenport, son of the local sheriff, and 12 other young men who subjected them to hours of brutal torture and sexual assault. The siblings were left bleeding in the street, and though Marcus managed to get Victoria out of town to seek help, neither officially survived. The sheriff controlled everything in Delaney Grove, the hospitals, police, media, and orchestrated a complete cover-up of these crimes as revenge against their father. Lana's transformation from victim to avenger is chronicled through her recovery. Crying constantly the first year, channeling anger into martial arts the second year, earning black belts the third year, building strength the fourth year, learning to tolerate physical contact the fifth year, and handling intimacy the sixth year. The seventh year marked her decision to seek revenge, with the eighth year tracking down her targets, the ninth year hacking police files, and the tenth year beginning her systematic killings. This backstory creates a profound moral complexity. Lana's victims are truly monstrous, rapists, child abusers, and murderers who escape justice through corruption and power. When she confronts Lawrence, one of her tormentors, he coldly refers to her brother as the gay son of a rapist's daughter, revealing they brutally punished Lana and Marcus for loving their father. The reader is placed in the uncomfortable position of understanding, even sympathizing with, Lana's brutal revenge. Jake, Lana's accomplice and her brother's former love interest, supports her mission while worrying about her growing attachment to Logan. Their relationship adds another layer of emotional depth, showing how trauma bonds survivors together. Jake helps Lana track her targets, provides alibis, and ultimately becomes her most trusted confidant, the only person who knows both Victoria Evans and Lana Myers. The central tension of the series reaches its breaking point when Logan discovers Lana's true identity through a series of devastating revelations. Initially, he catastrophically misinterprets the evidence, concluding she is Kennedy Carlisle, the daughter of the drunk drivers responsible for the Evans family massacre, who has become pathologically obsessed with Victoria Evans. This misunderstanding, fueled by his rigid sense of justice and deep-seated rage, culminates in a brutal confrontation at his cabin. Logan, believing he's dealing with a deranged stalker, treats Lana with calculated cruelty, handcuffing her naked to the bed, leaving her exposed and vulnerable, and refusing to hear her desperate attempts to explain. The truth, when it finally emerges, shatters Logan's world. Lana isn't Kennedy Carlisle. She's Victoria Evans herself, the sole survivor of an unspeakable tragedy who spent years carefully constructing her new identity. This revelation forces Logan to confront not only the horror of his recent actions, but also his fundamental understanding of justice. The woman he loves isn't a disturbed impersonator, but a trauma survivor who watched her family die and saw their killers walk free. His black and white view of law and justice crumbles as he grapples with impossible questions. How can he condemn someone for executing the monsters who destroyed her family and escaped legal consequences? What happens when the law fails so completely that vigilante justice becomes the only recourse? Can he reconcile his sworn duty as an FBI agent with his love for someone who has taken justice into her own hands? The moral complexity deepens exponentially as Logan uncovers the vast web of corruption in Delaney Grove. The local sheriff and his deputies didn't just fail to properly investigate the Evans family murders. They actively participated in the cover-up. FBI agent Miller Johnson, whom Logan once respected, proves to be deeply embedded in the conspiracy. Even more shocking, the corruption reaches the highest levels of the FBI itself, with the director's involvement in protecting the powerful at the expense of an innocent family. Each new revelation forces Logan to question everything he once believed about the system he's dedicated his life to upholding. This crisis of faith leads to one of the most powerful themes in the series, the recognition that justice sometimes exists outside the boundaries of law. This is powerfully illustrated through Leonard, Logan's world-weary colleague, who shares a pivotal story about a career criminal with a moral code who stepped in to protect a woman from her abusive husband after the legal system repeatedly failed her. Sometimes the monsters with a code are better than respectable citizens, Leonard explains, adding that the law isn't always just and justice isn't always legal. This wisdom becomes Logan's guide as he navigates the murky waters between his duty and his conscience, between what's legal and what's right. The revelation transforms not only Lana's understanding of Lana, but his entire worldview, forcing him to confront the uncomfortable truth that sometimes the most moral choice requires breaking the very laws he's sworn to uphold. Delaney Grove emerges as a character in itself, a meticulously planned municipality constructed like a circular labyrinth with the imposing town hall at its center. Astonishingly beautiful from the sky, only ugly when you're in the middle and can see the truth. This physical structure mirrors the town's moral corruption, with each concentric ring of streets serving as layers of deception protecting those in power. The architectural design ensures that all roads eventually lead to the center, making surveillance and control seamless while creating an illusion of small-town charm. The sheriff's iron grip extends far beyond law enforcement. Through a complex network of shell companies and puppet officials, he controls everything: cable, internet, water, food, gas, and hospitals. His rule is absolute yet subtle, maintaining power through a carefully crafted image of benevolent leadership while wielding fear like a weapon. Weekly town meetings serve as propaganda sessions where dissent is quietly noted and dissenters mysteriously relocate shortly after speaking up. The townspeople's compliance stems from both fear and comfort. As Lana observes, they've become sheep. Well-fed, seemingly content, but ultimately domesticated through generations of subtle manipulation. Local media celebrates minor achievements while burying darker stories, creating an alternate reality where Delaney Grove is the perfect American small town. Lana frequently references Voltaire. "Those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities." Watching how ordinary citizens rationalize increasingly disturbing events to maintain their comfortable illusions. When Lana and Jake launch their campaign of revelation, they exploit the town's carefully maintained facade. Their psychological warfare begins with subtle disruptions, mysterious red messages appearing in impossible places, water running crimson from fountains and sprinklers, and strategically timed power outages that leave only the Evans family's old house illuminated. They hack into the town's closed-circuit television system to broadcast carefully edited videos revealing decades of corruption, each revelation timed to maximize impact and terror. The resulting panic spreads like wildfire through Delaney Grove's circular streets. Residents, already primed by local legends about the Evans family curse, believe they're being haunted by vengeful spirits. This mass hysteria serves multiple strategic purposes. It allows innocent civilians to evacuate safely, draws national media attention to the town's secrets, and creates chaos that masks Lana's methodical dismantling of the sheriff's power structure. The town's destruction becomes both literal and symbolic. As Delaney Grove burns, the fire follows the circular street pattern, creating a spiral of flames visible from miles away. The inferno consumes not just buildings, but decades of carefully constructed lies, leaving nothing but truth in its wake. The town that was built on deception collapses into ash, proving that even the most elaborately constructed facades cannot withstand the cleansing power of truth. Throughout the series, Lana struggles with the devastating personal cost of her revenge mission. She consciously acknowledges her own gradual transformation into something monstrous, frequently telling her victims, "To defeat a monster, you have to be twice as monstrous." This mantra becomes both her shield and her burden, a self-fulfilling prophecy that pushes her deeper into darkness with each act of vengeance. Her methodical approach to revenge, keeping detailed files, practicing weapon skills for hours, memorizing her target's routines, reveals an obsession that has consumed her entire identity. Her unexpected relationship with Logan forces her, for the first time, whether there could be life after vengeance. Their connection begins as a simple cover story, but evolves into something that shakes the very foundation of her mission. Logan represents everything Lana thought she could never have: love, acceptance, normalcy, and most importantly, a future beyond her mission. When he tells her he loves her, she thinks sadly that the monster never gets the prince, and that their relationship is the most devastating tragedy Shakespeare never wrote. She believes that once Logan discovers her true identity, the calculated killer beneath her carefully constructed facade, he will not only hate her, but be destroyed by the revelation. The psychological toll of her double life manifests in increasingly destructive ways. Lana compartmentalizes her trauma and rage with clinical precision, only allowing herself to feel genuine emotions when she's with Logan. After particularly brutal kills, she seeks Logan's embrace not just for comfort, but to remind herself that she's still human, a ritual that becomes both salvation and torture. This duality creates a profound internal conflict that haunts her daily existence. Can she complete her mission without losing her soul entirely? Her nightmares begin to blur the lines between her two lives, with dreams of Logan discovering her blood-soaked hands or finding her victim files. Jake, her mentor and fellow vigilante, warns her repeatedly that she's becoming too attached to Logan, that her growing humanity might compromise everything they've worked for. Their heated arguments about her relationship reveal deeper questions about the nature of revenge itself. When Lana instinctively saves Logan from an attacker, breaking her cover and risking exposure, Jake observes that something inside her broke at seeing Logan in danger. This moment marks a crucial turning point, suggesting her love for Logan is fundamentally changing her nature, transforming her from an instrument of vengeance into something more unpredictable and perhaps more human. The climax of the series centers on Lana's meticulously planned final act of vengeance against Sheriff Holbrook and his conspirators. After orchestrating a town-wide evacuation under the guise of a chemical spill, she infiltrates the sheriff's Victorian mansion, a symbol of his ill-gotten wealth. In the master bathroom, she confronts him with evidence of his son's brutal crimes and his own years of corruption, watching his facade of respectability crumble. The ensuing scene pays homage to Hitchcock's Psycho, with Bernard Herrmann-style strings building to a crescendo as Lana's silhouette appears behind the shower curtain. Her calculated strikes with the hunting knife, the same type used to kill her parents, bring poetic justice as the sheriff bleeds out in his marble tub. The second phase of her plan unfolds at the town hall, where corrupt officers have gathered for their monthly security meeting, a front for dividing their illegal profits. Lana's assault is a masterclass in tactical precision, learned from years of training. She moves through the building's Art Deco corridors like a ghost, using the architecture she studied for weeks to her advantage. Her weapons of choice, her father's old service shotgun, and twin Sig Sauer pistols speak to both vengeance and justice. Despite her skill, the sheer number of opponents proves overwhelming. She takes bullets to her shoulder, thigh, and abdomen, finally becoming trapped in the building's east wing as fires from planted explosives begin to spread. In these seemingly final moments, Lana reaches for her phone with blood-stained hands. Her attempted farewell call to Logan reveals the tragic irony of her situation. Just as she's found something worth living for, death appears inevitable. Her voice breaks as she tells Logan, "You showed me what it was like to live again, to feel something beyond the emptiness." Through the smoke and flames, she experiences a vivid vision of her brother Marcus, wearing the same red flannel shirt from the day he died, reaching out to her with understanding in his eyes. This sacrificial ending transforms Lana's personal vendetta into something larger. The extensive files she and Jake compiled, containing surveillance footage, financial records, and witness testimonies, are automatically uploaded to major news outlets and law enforcement agencies across the country. The evidence exposes decades of corruption, from drug trafficking to murder, implicating not just local authorities, but reaching into the highest levels of the FBI's regional office. Her death becomes the catalyst for a nationwide investigation, suggesting that true justice sometimes requires the ultimate price. The media frames her story not as one of mere revenge, but of a whistleblower who gave everything to expose systemic corruption. In the final twist, we learn that Lana survived the explosion, rescued by Jake moments before the building collapsed. After recovering from her injuries, she escapes to Greece, believing she must let Logan go for his own safety. Logan, however, has undergone his own transformation. After learning the full truth about Delaney Grove, he resigns from the FBI when they refuse to publicly acknowledge the corruption. In his most dramatic break from his former moral code, he executes Christopher Denver, the true serial killer who framed Robert Evans, as a message to Lana that he understands and accepts who she is. He tracks Lana to Greece, telling her his life is wherever she is. Their reunion completes both characters' arcs. Logan has abandoned his black-and-white view of justice, while Lana has found something beyond revenge to live for. They marry and create a new life together, sharing a home with Jake and Hadley. The series concludes with a disturbing yet fitting epilogue. Once a year, Logan provides Lana with a gift, a truly evil person beyond the reach of conventional justice, like a diplomat's son who raped and killed young girls. This annual release allows Lana to satisfy her darker nature without consuming her soul. As Logan embraces her from behind while she prepares to exact justice, he whispers, "Happy anniversary, love," accepting that his place is by her side in this morally complex world. This conclusion challenges conventional notions of happily ever after, suggesting that true love means accepting someone's darkest nature. For Lana and Logan, redemption doesn't mean complete transformation or forgiveness, but rather finding a balance between justice, vengeance, and love that allows them both to live with the trauma of their pasts. The Mindfuck series ultimately asks profound questions about justice, trauma, and redemption. When systems fail and corruption protects the powerful, is vigilante justice ever justified? Can someone who has become a monster in response to monstrous acts ever truly heal? Is unconditional love possible when both parties have blood on their hands? The series doesn't offer easy answers. Instead, it creates a moral labyrinth as complex as the town at its center, forcing readers to confront uncomfortable truths about human nature. Like Logan, we begin with a black-and-white understanding of right and wrong, only to find ourselves in increasingly gray territory as we learn more about Lana's past. What makes the series so compelling is this moral complexity combined with raw emotional honesty. Lana's trauma is depicted unflinchingly, making her vengeance understandable even as its brutality disturbs us. Logan's internal struggle between duty and love feels authentic rather than contrived. Their relationship, built on secrets and eventually sustained by complete honesty, challenges romantic conventions while remaining emotionally resonant. By the end, we're left questioning not just the characters' choices, but our own moral boundaries. Would we do the same in their positions? Is there a point where justice becomes indistinguishable from revenge? And, perhaps most disturbingly, can love flourish in the darkest places between two people who have crossed moral lines most would never approach? In this moral wilderness, St. Abby finds unexpected beauty. The fierce loyalty between survivors, the courage to face unimaginable trauma, and love that accepts rather than redeems. The Mindfuck series lives up to its provocative title, challenging our preconceptions about good and evil while delivering a love story as disturbing as it is profound.